Welcome to the deep dive. We're plunging headfirst into sources again. But today, it's something different. Not articles, not papers.
No, this time we're looking at the raw feed, basically. An online forum thread.
Exactly. Imagine just, you know, looking over someone's shoulder as they scroll through this really active digital community. You see the quick thoughts, the memes, the arguments, all in real time.
A very unfiltered view.
It is. Our source today, it's a big chunk from an image board thread. It's called HSG Unleash the Maids Edition. Now, HSG apparently started as Homestuck General.
Right, the webcomic.
Yeah, but as you'll see, I mean, it goes way beyond just Homestuck. It's like a snapshot of this whole online ecosystem. Links, images, really rapid-fire comments jumping all over the place.
And our mission, really, is to try and make sense of this digital broth. I think someone in the thread actually called it that.
Yeah, the broth. Appetizing.
Well, maybe. But we want to pull out the interesting bits, the insights, to help you understand how these online subcultures actually work. You know, what makes them tick? What sparks these conversations?
And that mix of, like, humor, criticism, shared inside jokes.
Exactly. So for you listening, this is kind of a shortcut, a way to understand this specific, yeah, chaotic, but also really engaging corner of the internet. You see dynamics here that honestly you see playing out elsewhere too.
Okay, let's dive in then. First off, a massive part of this thread, it's just video games.
Yeah.
Like constantly. It's this digital arcade of memories, critiques. People have strong feelings. Very strong.
Oh, absolutely. And what's fascinating is how it mixes deep, deep nostalgia for older games with some really sharp, sometimes quite aggressive criticism of modern game design.
They're fun.
And publishing choices, too.
Yeah, you really feel that tension. Like, how do you keep the old magic versus how do you modernize something?
Precisely. It's a constant battle, it seems.
So, sticking with the thread's original name, Homestuck General, there's actually a lot about Homestuck right at the start. A new animated pilot. People seem excited.
They are. Lots of talk about bonus content. Things like SBAHJ sketches, which I gather is Sweet Bro and Hella Jeff like a comic within the comic.
Right. Notoriously badly drawn, but beloved. And Tobidoko book cover sketches.
Huh.
People are even hoping for project files like the actual .psds and .flas, even 3D Hiveswap stuff.
Hmm.
Fans want access.
Deep access. And the pilot itself, it's apparently coming September 27th. Andrew Hussey, the creator, he's not writing it directly.
No, but he chimes in, is how they put it.
Yeah.
The goal seems to be making it more digestible, maybe for a wider audience.
Yeah.
It's still good for the hardcore fans.
A tricky line to walk. They're doing original songs, but also using as many from the Homestuck OST as we can. It's short, though. Only 11 minutes. Just a taste.
And definitely not a musical. They want it period accurate.
Mm.
Oh, and there was a funny detail about, like, skirting parody rules. They mentioned the movie Con Air, but the posters in the background are blurred.
Yeah, nice. And Toby Fox, the Undertale guy, he's involved. Apparently Hussey brought him in, not the other way around.
Interesting. And you see the dedication, even with frustration. Someone mentioned accepting all of Huss's retconning bullshit up until Act 6. That says a lot, right? Loyalty despite the bumps.
It really does. Fans invest so much, and they have definite ideas about how things should be handled, which actually leads us nicely into another big game discussion, doesn't it?
Yeah, that Draggy Quest the 7th remake debate. Talk about tension between old and new. People seem both excited and wary.
Very wary. It's a classic RPG, DQ7, and the trailer sparked a lot of debate, especially the character designs.
Right, the big bobbleheads on thinner human torsos. Someone compared it to Team America World Police.
Yeah, the puppet movie look,
mm-hmm.
which they contrasted with an updated Bechujo Maribel in Heroes the Second. Bechujo meaning like that aesthetically pleasing anime girl style.
So they want devotion to the source, basically. Keep the original feel.
Exactly. And technically, too, like, no objective markers on the map. They want the old school exploration, hoping the tablet guide and map hints are ignorable.
It's about the experience, not just the look.
Precisely. And the fact that Yuji Horii, the original creator, is doing game design and scenario direction, that's seen as a huge positive, a sign it's a real smurfing remake.
Smurfing being the all-purpose intensifier here.
Seems to be, yes. Indicating genuine approval. They don't want that vibe some HD 2D remakes apparently have, that those old games sucked and we're fixing them attitude. They want DQ7 to feel more humble, respectful.
But they are worried about the publisher, Square Enix.
Oh, yeah. There's explicit concern about them doing another. We made like 5 versions of the same game, lol thing. That clearly annoys players. They want a definitive version.
Even tiny details matter, like mentioning the specific look of the soil grass blocks from DQ Builders, the spinoff. Mm. It shows how deep this stuff goes for players.
It's part of their world, their identity almost.
And it wasn't just Homestuck and DQ. Lots of other game talk. Music tastes, like really specific stuff.
Yeah, I need more sci-fi techie but distinctly video game BGM like Seizu no Amazones. Or the slightly tongue-in-cheek Shibuya Pop, Persona-invented Japanese jazz.
Yeah, and deep dives into game mechanics, like that Fire Emblem Awakening mod issue.
Oh, that was detailed. Frustration with a rebalance mod where the pair-up mechanics randomness, the RNG was killing units, and making Crom, the main lord, have negative utility, basically hindering the player.
And key characters like Robin and Crom felt outright bad to use, apparently as a reaction against this old strategy, the Nosferatu solo meme.
Exactly, a reaction against an old, maybe cheesy, but popular strategy that trivialized the game for some. It shows how modding communities grapple with balance and player habits. Super niche, but fascinating.
It is, but there's also this broader feeling like RPG fatigue.
Yes, definitely. People mentioning massive games like SMT5, Xenoblade 3, finding them smurfing long and full of side stuff, and the party building is convoluted.
Which leads to wanting grind minimization DLC.
But this is key. Refusing to just lower the difficulty setting. They still want the challenge, just less, maybe, busy work. It's an interesting conflict.
Yeah, and broader genre takes, too. Like, monster collector games have been mind-jacked by Megatons and Pokemon.
Suggesting those two franchises just dominate everything else in that space.
And speaking of Pokemon, views on the Legends games versus the upcoming stuff.
Right. Positive take on the Legends games filling in the holes in older, maybe Rush games, but then harsh criticism of the shitty Facebook avatar tier art style for the new characters, and worries about Gen 10 not a laughing stock.
So much passion. It really shows how tied player identity is to these games, and how development choices tap into wider trends, expectations, commercial pressures, too. That tension, old versus new, classic versus modern, it's everywhere.
It really is.
So moving away from games specifically, but staying in this online world, it gets really interesting looking at the fandoms themselves, right? These niche communities, the personas people adopt.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder, how do these anonymous spaces shape identity? How do they build shared experience, handle conflict?
Yeah.
Often with this weird mix of irony and like genuine heat.
Yeah, what is the motivation behind some of these really intense reactions? Like, okay, the Prodigy math thing.
Yeah.
A kid's math game.
I know, it was surprising to see. But yeah, mentions of the Puppet Master character. And apparently there are weird kids or adults in the fandom who white knight for the Puppet Master.
White knighting meaning like overly aggressive defense.
Yeah, exactly. And debates over the character's name, Puppet Master or Smuppet Doctor. It shows this deep dive into the lore. People creating fan art, arguing about redesigns, preferring the epic old design with its control bar and string hands over the boring new design.
And even gender speculation about a character named Pippet. Pippet is a her, leading to jokes like Troid Ped and Trans Queen. It's a lot for a math game character.
It shows how fans can latch onto anything and build a whole world around it, investing really deeply.
Okay, that's fandom intensity. But then there's the reaction to the Nancy Ford comic strip changing hands. That felt visceral. What's really at stake there for the readers?
It seems like a sense of ownership, maybe. The outgoing cartoonist Olivia James, or OJ, is described pretty harshly, adulting, hating millennial, hated the job, maybe rage quit.
And predictions that the rest of the year will just be reruns of the original creator's work, Bushmiller.
Right. And then the incoming artist, Caroline Cash, the dread is palpable. Her style is described as one shade removed from furry stoner punk zine comics.
Oof. Not exactly mainstream praise.
No. Accusations of being a Nepo baby, getting an award for an ugly comic about art school. It's brutal. Mm. And then that comment about focusing death-fed energy on her to make her quit art forever.
Death-fed energy being that ironic term for intense negative focus.
Seems like it. It's a really stark example of how resistant some communities can be to change and things they feel attached to, and how personal the attacks can get.
And these communities obviously have their own internal rules, their own politics.
Definitely. You see it in the moderation discussions, like lifting Pogo's ban after Pogo was conceded to be right about Charlie Kirk, whoever Pogo and Charlie Kirk are in this context. The process of banning and unbanning is clearly a big deal.
Right. And asking for moderator power, to delete spam elsewhere.
And even suggesting rules like limiting joke bans to 32 seconds during slap fighting, which is their term for like playful arguments.
Oh, specific. And debating whether moderation for political reasons is even like part of the forum's broth. It shows this constant negotiation of norms.
Very fluid. Self-governance in action, sort of.
And the language, it's almost a character itself. All this slang used so aggressively or ironically.
It's fundamental to the group identity. Terms like dersite, trickster, pulled from Homestuck, but used more broadly, it seems. Smurfing, obviously. Things like femcel icon, numal harvesting, quark chungus, death fat energy.
That's like a code. Jarring if you're outside, but for insiders.
It marks belonging. And they even reflect on it themselves, right? Talking about how fandoms do things now versus back in the day when meme culture was just a broth. Suggesting things were maybe more chaotic, less structured before.
Yeah, an awareness of their own culture evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And even noticing synchronicity in things happening in the forum, like a shared consciousness.
Exactly. So this whole section really shows how dynamic these places are. They're not just archives. They actively shape culture, identity, opinion, reflecting wider anxieties and humor, but in their own very specific self-referential way.
Okay, so if we zoom out, what does this all mean? It's clearly more than just games and fandoms. You see these bigger cultural tensions playing out, right? Generational stuff, politics, all filtered through this forum's lens.
Absolutely. And connecting it to the bigger picture, you see how these online spaces really do become arenas for those broader debates. But expressed with, you know, cynicism, loads of irony, that very specific in-group language, sometimes just outright hostility.
Yeah, it's like a supercharged reflection, maybe even a precursor sometimes, of what's brewing elsewhere.
Could be.
And that generational warfare theme felt really strong. Different age groups defining themselves against each other. Constantly.
Very pronounced. That advice. Never debate anyone that's not in your very specific age bracket or you will get shot. Hyperbole, obviously, but the sentiment.
Intense. And the observation about millennials being, ironically, the ones most likely to say, won't somebody please think of the adult children?
Yeah, flipping that usual script. Contrasting them with Zoomers who cannibalize each other, apparently, and Gen Z using memes like, I'm literally neurodivergent and a minor, to navigate fandom spaces.
And critiques like treating 30 like the new 20 helps younger millennials stop feeling like massive smurfing losers. Pretty harsh.
But then defenses too, like millennials have taken enough shit, it's Gen X bashing time now. Rejecting the idea they're all, a heck and minor types, but pointing out they're like 29 at the youngest.
So there's this constant battle for definition, for who gets to define the narrative of their generation's struggles.
Exactly, a real push and pull.
Okay, and then the political stuff, which, you know, in an unfiltered forum like this, it gets pretty intense. We should probably tread carefully here, just reporting what's in the source.
Yes, definitely. Important to state, we're describing the content found in the thread, reflecting those specific online discussions, not endorsing any viewpoints ourselves.
Right. So there was that whole discussion around Charlie Kirk, the conservative guy, and Pogo's ban, and a moderator apparently banning themselves for defending Kirk. Wild.
Very meta. And the idea of consecrating St. Kirk the Honest as a deliberate counter to the St. Floyd the Breathless meme referencing George Floyd, it shows how these communities create their own really provocative, sometimes offensive counter-narratives using existing cultural touchstones.
Yeah. And then there were debates about, well, about the pragmatism of terrorism. Someone asking if it's dumb to oppose it ethically because it, like, works, but also calls to remain lucid, think critically.
It's a strange mix. And observations about, quote, leftists dancing on a grave so unapologetically, questioning the disconnect between seeing people as silly versus wanting to see them get culled being a euphemism for violence there.
Yeah. And critiques flying both ways, calling people a self-righteous retard with zero nuance or accusing others of accepting Floydian moral premises while trying to hedge with Paulisms. Paulisms, referring to language from that specific, often extreme 4chan board.
Right. It's referencing specific online political tribes and their associated viewpoints. And some comics were just blunt. Violence is cool as long as it's me killing you. Or the call to reject politics, embrace fashionable suicide.
Challenging stuff to relay. But it does show that extreme end of online political talk, right? The shock value, the tribalism. It's a form of commentary, however uncomfortable.
A very specific boundary pushing form, yes.
And AI. That popped up too. The anxieties aren't just in think pieces, clearly.
No, they're right there in the mix. Mentions of AI brain, frustration with Google's Notebook LM is properly smartthefted, meaning it's not working well.
Real world tech frustration.
Yeah. And explicit AI fear mongering, an omnicidal rant about AI's potential dangers. cynicism too about nothing burger GPT-5. Like, is the progress even real?
And seeing things like targeted AI ads or even AI Kirk just becoming part of the landscape, blending tech and politics.
It shows AI is definitely on people's minds, the good and the bad, right there in the daily digital churn.
And beyond those big themes, just lots of random social takes, like a cultural barometer.
Totally. Strong opinions on foreign policy. Hating Russia is one thing, but the Ukraine cocksucking is another. Or saying staying out of international affairs is a pretty mild take.
Cultural critiques too, like that bizarre almonds turn you into a limp-wristed little girl thing
Yeah.
attributed to a Chinese historian.
Random, provocative, possibly just an in-joke or meme. And mundane stuff. The air fryer debate. Hating air fryers is hyper-contrarian.
Huh. Even that gets debated. And someone just wanting to neat for longer, neat being not in education, employment, or training, just wanting to avoid the grind.
Yeah. So this whole dive into the wider currents, it shows these forums are dynamic platforms for processing everything, world events, generational fights, politics. The raw, unfiltered nature gives you this unique, sometimes jarring insight into current anxieties and humor, all through their specific lens.
Wow. Yeah, what a journey. Through the digital looking glass, indeed. From deep game design debates and intense fandom worlds to these raw, chaotic arguments about generations, politics, tech, this thread gave us a real slice of it all.
It did. It's where nostalgia meets critique, where humor is often walking this very fine line.
So what we saw today wasn't just random noise, was it?
Not at all. It's really a living example of how these online communities process the world around them, how they react, filter, sometimes even shape things. They're complex ecosystems, shared passions, strong opinions, and yeah, a language all their own.
Understanding that internal logic, the humor, the raw discourse, it seems key to getting modern digital culture.
I think so. You have to look at the mechanics within these spaces.
So as you listening, think about this. Dive into the digital broth. Maybe consider this. In a world where so much information is polished, curated, what does this kind of raw, unfiltered, super fast online chatter actually reveal
Yeah.
about how we're all trying to make sense of things?
Or maybe how we're struggling to, in ways that feel, I don't know, both deeply human but also incredibly uniquely digital.